Barney and Friends. Barney Simon. Jacaranda FM.
Hoya U-turn and just pop along and come and shake his hand and he'll even sign an autograph. So bring some vinyls, whatever. You are playing on Friday and Saturday at the Barnyard Theatre. Brilliant sound, good lights. It's top quality stuff. It must be nice for you to play in a decent venue, and it's a very intimate venue as well.
Yeah, and looking forward to it. Graham, my man, went down there this afternoon. He says it's great.
Yeah, so that's Friday and Saturday, Barnyard Theatre in Rivonia. You can book through their website or you can contact the Barnyard. Tickets are flying. It's going to be brilliant. A couple of South African musos opening for you as well. And then you're going to Cape Town as well next week. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, I am. I went down there once before with the mission, about 10, 15 years ago, but I don't really remember much about it, apart from the blind girl on stage and the woman that lived in the house next door came in a nightdress and got Craig around the neck and told him to turn the sound down. Whilst we were playing on stage,
it was at a school hall, and there was a house next to, and she came out because we were making a noise, rushed up on stage in her gown, her pajamas,
in a nightgown, a white nightgown, had him around the neck while he was playing bass guitar.
That's Cape Town for you. All right, we had a request here. Let's see. If I can find it, Teresa, Bird of Passage. Teresa Wayne is going to play the song just for you. Have a listen.
Come home to stay with me. It may
Brilliant. What
thank you very
honor.
Much. Thank you very much.
Brilliant. You still got it, by the way.
Thank you very much.
It must be the South African red wine sometimes, huh?
It must help.
But I could see it. There's a lot of soul there. And every time you go on stage, every time you sing a song, it comes from the heart, which is very important, and you deliver, and it must be a nice feeling, you know, it's a gift.
Yeah, I guess it is. I mean, it's just what I do, Barney.
Mm.
I enjoy it, and I hope that comes across.
Well, everybody's enjoying it. Johan Rousseau says, how's it? He says, wow, what a pleasure to hear Wayne from The Mission live after all these years. With such humble honesty and a superb sense of irony. It's been 25 years from Mr. Rousseau, Johan Rousseau in Bloemfontein, listening to us. And yeah, he grew up there in Verwoerdburg when I used to play your stuff on the radio. Remember playing The Mission, changed his life, changed my life as well. Yeah. Remember interviewing you in, I think it was 91, I was so scared. It was my first international interview. And we had to do it live.
You phoned me up, didn't you?
I phoned you.
Yeah, I was at home, I remember.
Yeah,
we had a little office at the end of the house and sat there waiting for your call.
Yeah. And I would sweaty palms, nervous. I mean, I thought you know, I'm going to speak to this goth dressed in black, tattoos, nose rings. And you're just a normal person like Marilyn Manson. No, not really.
I've never been on Sons of Anarchy.
Exactly. Your time will come. All right, Wayne. Peter Burns, a good friend of yours.
Well, I haven't seen him for many years, but yes, he was once upon a time a good friend of mine.
He found you and said, do you want to join this band?
Yeah, I've been on tour with a band called Pauline Murray and the Invisible Girls. Pauline Murray used to be the singer in a band called Penetration, band. And then put a band together solo, and we worked with Martin Hannett, actually, who produced our album. And that was my first tour with Pauline Murray, but then we split up. And Pete Burns called me and said, I need a guitarist. So, anyway, gun for hire.
They were sort of a pop glam kind of band as well.
They were later, but when I joined the band, we were actually quite, very goth, very dark, very rock. It was very different from what it ended up being.
You Spin Me Around Like a Record, the video, those three characters in the back.
No, I'm not there.
You're not there.
No, I
thought
the band by then.
I thought that's Wayne with a flag in the back. No, I mean, it doesn't look like you'd have been embarrassed.
Flying a flag? No.
Three
God
flags, and there's Mr. Byrne with his eye patch doing his thing.
Yeah, no, I'd left the band by then. Only a year or so before that, though.
But did you play on that?
No.
Not at all.
But they did put one of my songs on the B-side, so it earned me a little penny. It earned me a few pennies, actually. Enough to pay for the first two Mission singles.
So you Spin Me Round, you never performed live either. That came after.
Yeah, no. I know. Okay. That came after I'd left.
Yeah, it's still huge on dance floor. It's still huge on radio.
It's a great pop single.
Yeah, brilliant. Mm. But I wrote this down here. You were in this band called The Dead Birds, and you opened for The Pretenders. The Dead Birds.
Yes, Dead spelt D-E-D.
Yeah.
And Birds spelt B-Y-R-D-S. Yes. It was punk. It was Liverpool, and it was a punk band. We opened for quite a few bands. We opened for Ultravox with the original Ultravox with John Fox. We opened for... We actually played a fair few shows with Joy Division before they got big. And they supported us a few times in Liverpool because they used to have this thing with Manchester. Manchester bands used to come over and play with Liverpool bands, and then we'd go over and support them over there.
What was Ian Curtis like when you met him? Was he depressed?
It's a very funny thing, really. I don't know whether my memory's been coloured by the legend, but I just remembered going into the dressing room at Eric's and him sat in the corner while the other members of the band were making a lot of noise and being lads, and he was sat there with his beer in the corner, being very quiet. But I'm not sure that's just a memory that's been coloured by what's gone on since, you know.
Mm.
They were great, you know, they were good, but they were nothing, to me at the time, they were nothing out of the ordinary. It's when they released the first album, they became very big, very soon, very quickly. And then they did the second album, which was a beautiful album. And obviously he died before that came out. But I do kind of feel that the way that he's been lionized, it could have happened to any one of a number of people. If it had been Robert Smith that had died at that point, or Ian McCulloch or Julian Cope, then maybe, you know, the legend would be all about them, not Ian Curtis.
What was the scene like with all the bands, a lot of venues around, people going out? What was the nightlife like in Liverpool? It must have been amazing in those days.
Well, I mean, again, it's one of those things, you know, you're young, you've got a lot of energy, you don't want to stay in at night, you know. I was unattached, and Eric's would have shows on a Thursday. Thursday night used to be local band night, basically. Then it would be Friday and Saturday with the touring bands, you know, the bigger bands. And occasionally, I remember seeing Talking Heads being supported by Dire Straits, Eric's. I saw U2 at Eric's. I saw Iggy Pop at Eric's. And you know, there were other venues as well around the city, but Eric's was the centre of it, the central point of it. And that's where all those great Liverpool bands originated from, really. Got their start playing there, Orchestral Maneuvers, you know.
So all those bands in those days, I mean, no social media. You had to go and stick up those posters.
Absolutely.
With
did
glue.
We did it ourselves. Yeah, we did it ourselves.
How did you get the word out? I mean, flyers,
word of mouth. You know, I mean, flyers and local. I mean, there were quite a few local fanzines at the time. But again, you know, I mean, it's, you know, you do an interview for a fanzine, it doesn't hit the streets until like 6 weeks later. So it's a lot of pre-planning that went on then. I mean, it's what it was.
Barney and Friends. Barney Simon.